Vintage Broadcasting, an old-time production created and produced by your Master of Ceremonies, Frank Oz. Stay tuned to hear various updates from around the world and here in the United States. We will be considering a variety of topics from history, sports, religion, and American politics. The conversations will be free-flowing and filled with Christian conservative views relating to all topics discussed. If you wish to participate, feel free to comment in the broadcast subject line and voice your opinion. Please keep your language controlled and civil, as foul language will not be tolerated in any instance, but instead will be deleted immediately. We will not shy away from difficult topics and do not adhere to the socialist communist agenda in any way. We are Americans from the good old days, when men were men and ladies were respected, God was feared, and children obeyed. We still believe in truth, justice, and the American way. Again, if you have a topic that you wish to discuss, let us know and we will do our best to address those issues. Thank you, and we appreciate your participation in this broadcast. Episode number 9. Who started this mess? What I'm about to speak about is disconcerting and to a great degree both surprising and terrifying at the same time. We've been looking at the nefarious actions coming from the Far East and proclaiming that this is our greatest threat. Indeed, I believe China is the greatest opposition we have now as a nation, and they are greatly involved in American politics and an American way of life. And yes, they've interfered in our elections, and they are pushing very, very hard in our politics, and I believe they've got many, many of our politicians in their pocket. But I would agree that it's a tremendous threat that we need to be concerned about. We tend to want to say that China's behind all of our ills at the moment, and that's not true. China and Russia have infiltrated American politics and are destroying the way of life. This is the American way of life. This is their desire and their aim. But what about the Muslims? Well, the Russians and the Chinese can work with the Muslims in this instance because all three have the same desire, to destroy the American way of life. However, to say that they're the main cause of everything we see happening would be a half-truth. They are involved. It's an ideology that is pernicious and deceptive, refined and pervasive. It's the work of many brilliant minds that have banded together, not over the past few months, but over the past few decades. For over 100 years, these individuals have been here in our country, in our places of power. We point to China and Russia as a diversion for what is taking place, much like Hillary Clinton pointed to Russia to hide her sins. This is part of the ploy of what's happening presently. It's a deception that is under the direction of another group. This is a very nefarious group. It's subtle, it's deadly, and it moves slowly. They have a bloodlust for power, control. They're in our institutions, and they've even occupied the office of the President of the United States, and have organized the greatest coup ever achieved in the history of our nation. They've stolen the election of November 3rd, 2020. And those involved are now insisting that we accept the results of this election or be canceled. Politicians are growing silent. Talking heads are quick to promote the lie. Even Joe Biden has indicated that any who object to the fraudulent returns of the election on November 3rd are nothing more than Nazis who promote the big lie. The big lie being what Joseph Goebbels called his work. You lie long enough, loud enough, people will believe anything. The Marxist Socialist Democrats are locking arms and mowing down all who disagree and refuse to accept the lies that they put forth. This is all being done blatantly and openly in an in-your-face manner. It has been and will continue to be my contention that Trump was an accident, an anomaly. In their estimation, he was not supposed to be there, and they have sent text messages out that have been displayed that they needed to destroy this man and all that he stands for. He was an uninvited guest. His ideas and goals were counterintuitive to what these people have been undertaking for decades. He was dismantling the structures they built over the years, and he needs to be destroyed. death would seem to be the solution, but that is not what they desire. They want to discredit a man and to strip him of all of his accomplishments, to ridicule him and his movement, and belittle and destroy all of his ideas. On top of this, we the people, those who elected and stand behind this man, must pay for what we have done, all 75 million of us. We, collectively, along with Trump and his administration, are the targets of this present administration. They will be aiming at us in the days to come. We have to hold on to these things that we know to be true. Scripture says, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He strengthens our heart." In God's plan, no matter what men say or how they feel, Trump was the man. The Lord changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he sets up kings, and he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Daniel 2:21 tells us this. This is an absolute that we must not forget or lose sight of. The Lord puts one leader down, and he lifts up another. Nobody sneaks in accidentally. Nobody really steals an election. And nobody slips by unnoticed without the Lord's permission. The Lord is in control. I'm in no way advocating or even remotely suggesting any correlation between Donald Trump and God and Jesus Christ. I can say and suggest that the entire design of things that we're seeing now, the entire design of what has been done by a group called the Fabian Socialists, which we will discuss in more depth, was being threatened. Not only threatened, but literally attacked by the policies enacted by the Trump administration. He was moving in a way no president had ever done. He was unraveling the plans and schemes of these men as no other president had ever done. Reagan, as chief executive, encouraged the nation, but he did not do what this administration has attempted to do. Had he done this, he too would have been run out of office. We desire to inform the Christian so he or she will be able to take precautions, to be able to pray properly, and to prepare themselves spiritually for the days ahead. We have a different master, but we have a war taking place that many, particularly and sadly, those within the church, do not realize. Consequently, they don't know how to present their prayers to God. They don't know how to stand. They don't understand the battle. And if you don't know your enemy, who are you going to fight? Vintage Broadcasting is a Christian commentary that considers the events of the day. We do not look passively at events and offer blithe opinions. No, we intend to comment on what is taking place and apply these things to Scripture. Let's compare what is being said in the public square to what has been said in Scripture. Now, some will dispute this, suggesting that as Christians, we're not to be involved in politics or be accused of being political activists. I would strongly disagree with such a statement. David fought against the enemies, and if you would, take time to study his prayers regarding his enemies, the enemies that stood against him politically. See how Samuel dealt with the enemies of God. Christ was not so gentle when it came to running the money collectors out of the temple and declaring the truth. These money changers were funneling money to the state, who was in turn paying taxes to Rome. His actions, the actions of Christ, were considered a very radical form of political activity and would not be supported by those in charge. The chief priest pleaded with Pilate, stating that Christ was an enemy of the state. Tyrants fear resistance, and they view it as sedition. Rome viewed any resistance as the actions of a seditious crowd, and it was confronted harshly and immediately. Jesus was seen and portrayed as a leader of a sedition. His ideas were provoking a rebellion. He attracted large crowds, and people were drawn not only to the man, but to the message. Some may say that Christ was not concerned with political ideology, yet it was his teaching that eventually found its way to rule in Rome. To speak of Christ in the marketplace will result in your getting shouted down, ridiculed, and in some places imprisoned. You will be accused of being bigoted, homophobic, racist, xenophobic, and even deplorable. You'll be maligned and mocked and misunderstood. You'll be censured and canceled. Canceled meaning it could cost you your job, it could cost you your reputation in the community and your livelihood. These are not random efforts being put forth by organized patterns of thought. These are actions and thoughts and philosophies and political tactics that have been established through years of education and indoctrination. What we're looking at here and considering here in the United States is not an attack by a recent enemy. It's an attack coming from within. John the Baptist spoke to the politics of his day, and he lost his head. What was his activism? He spoke to the sin of the leaders. No, he did not act like Abby Hoffman. He did not stand up and act in a radical manner. but he did speak to power regarding truth and morality. We're not called to be blind to the world around us. We are not called to be quiet and to be silent. We are called to Christ, to go and spread the gospel, to speak truth to a lost world, to follow Christ and do what he says do, and to live as he says live. We have a great cloud of witness to follow and to emulate. Many who were sawn in two, many were in prison, many were stoned and flogged and locked in chains. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, trying to stay warm and to protect them from the elements. They were not wealthy, and they did not live lives of luxury and comfort. They didn't have smooth skin and nice hair. The ones who followed Christ, following his teachings and principles, and living as he led them to live, were destitute, afflicted, tormented, wandered in the deserts and on the mountains, and they lived in caves and holes in the ground. This is the cost and the privilege that we Christians can expect in this world, and particularly under this system of government. We do not realize or understand the greatest thing that we have right now in America is our governmental system, which has been by the people and for the people. It was founded on Christian principles and upheld by Christian principles. But still, we have such a privilege above that of knowing Christ. And if you do not understand this, if you have not embraced this, you're missing the message altogether. It's these men and women who have gained approval, these men of faith. They've gained approval for the faith that they held, though they did not receive what was promised. They believed. They never saw nice houses, fine food, and fast cars, yet they were promised a kingdom. They were promised a home in heaven. They were scattered, and they were marked as political activists, rebellion towards the Roman leadership, and they were marked as worthy of death. We do not advocate protest and violence. We do not advocate radical political activity as presented in our society today. This will not result in much outside of this present world. However, we do plead with all men who will listen and with all who are concerned. Stand for the Lord in this unrighteous time. Speak to the evil that you see. Do not be afraid. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon his name while he's near. Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Scripture tells us, you'll be saved.